right, Kendall. I'll take over the watch. You better get down to the brig and see that wharf rat, Jones. He's asking to talk with you. Says it's a matter of life and death.
Passage of the Tangmar. The story of a ship and its cargo of death.
Sure, I got something to tell you, Kendall. Something you want to know pretty badly, I reckon. The name of the killer you're looking for. But before I talk, you're getting me out of this hole. Is it a bargain, Kendall?
I'd taken Goddard's advice and gone to the brig to find out what it was that Jones wanted. I hadn't expected to find that he knew anything that might help me in my search for the murderer of Miller and Blake, but now it seems that I might be wrong. After all, until now, Jones had had the run of the ship, and he just might have discovered something. He was talking to me through the barred window of the cell where the skipper had confined him after his attempt to start a mutiny in the engine room. And as I watched the shifty eyes and slack mouth, I was reminded of that other occasion when Jones had claimed to know something, when he'd alleged that it was Captain Goddard who'd told him to attack me with a knife. Jones' motive then had been revenge. And I wondered what it was on this occasion. Who did Jones want to settle a score with? Who did he hate badly enough to accuse him of murder?
Well, is it a deal, Kendall?
No.
Now, listen, you want to find that murderer, don't you? It ain't going to do you no good if we reach Jamaica and he ain't solved these crimes, is it, Mr. Copper's Nark?
I'm not making any deals with you, Jones. If you know something, you better talk and talk fast. You've got enough trouble hanging over you without facing a charge of withholding information.
I'm not withholding information. I've offered to tell you, and
at a price I'm not prepared to pay. And in any case, why have you kept it to yourself till now? Was there a price behind your silence, Jones?
What do you mean?
Assuming you do know the killer's name, what are we going to do about it? Blackmail him or her?
Man's got to live, Mr. Kendall.
Sometimes I can't help wondering why.
But that was before the skipper ordered me locked up. Now I'm prepared to sell the murderer's name in exchange for my freedom. I mean, you go mad locked in here. Another fortnight at least till we get to Jamaica. I couldn't face it, Kendall.
You haven't forgotten the episode with the knife, have you, Jones? When you said it was the skipper who put you up to that.
I was lying then, and you know.
All right. But I'm not making any deals with you until I've checked the information. If it's on the level, I'll talk to the skipper then, not before. So let's have it, Jones. The name.
All right, Kendall, but you drive a hard bargain.
Have you talked to anyone else about this?
No one. Why should I?
I'm just checking. All right, now let's have it.
Come closer to the bar. Don't want to shout it out. Dangerous knowledge for me to have locked in down here. Wouldn't be hard for someone to sneak down and let me have it, would it?
You mean the killer knows that you know?
I didn't say that. But he might.
Oh, stop beating around the bush and talk.
Sure I'll talk. It's the bloomin' chief engineer who've done it. I saw him. Saw him both times. Cregan's the murderer you're looking for. That smug Scott.
Kendall, are you down there with Jones?
Yes, Skipper. Is something wrong?
Oh, now, Mr. Kendall, everything's just dandy.
Did Jones give you any information?
Well, yes. He just told me that the chief engineer is the killer we're looking for.
And he is, Skipper. I wouldn't lie to you. Not now.
Not now, eh? It might interest you to know that Mr. Cregan just came up to the bridge, Kendall. And we had a very interesting conversation. Are you going to deny that you've talked with Cregan just a half hour ago, Jones?
Sure, I talked with him. He came in to make sure that the padlock on the door was secure and...
There you are. Convict that of his own lying mouth. You know what this... dirty rat said to Mr. Cregan, Dirk. He told the chief that I was the killer of Miller and Blake.
What? Well, I give you my word.
Your word? You ought to have your tongue cut out. First it's me, and now it's Cregan. How many other people are you going to accuse? Get this door unlocked, Kendall. I'm going to tear you apart, Jones. I'll break every bone in your body.
Now, cut it out, Skipper.
I gave you an order, Mr. Kendall. Either unlock that door, or you'll spend the rest of this voyage in the brig with Jones.
Well, he makes a lot more accusations, involves any other person he cares to. Look, can't you see his game, Skipper? He blames you, Cregan, and me, for the fact that he's in custody. He'll try anything to get square with the three of us.
After I'd arrested you and Cregan, it'd be my turn. Major Challoner, or perhaps the doctor, would be told that I was a fake, a fraud. They'd be informed by Jones that I was the murderer. Before you know it, this ship would be a hotbed of warring factions accusing each other, fighting each other, while Jones sat back and laughed to himself. I'm right, aren't I, Jones?
You've got to believe me, Mr. Kendall. I'm telling you the truth. Cregan did it.
Yes, and I did it. Which one of us was it?
Oh, come on, Skipper. Let's get back on deck.
You're right, Kendall. The smell of rottenness down here.
Okay, Mr. High and Mighty Captain Goddard, but you'll be sorry. I'm going to get even with both of you. When we reach Jamaica, I'll talk. I'll have the both of you plastered across the front page of every newspaper that'll listen to me. Try jamming that in your filthy
just
pipe.
Just one more word, Jones. Just one. I'm waiting for it. And to help me,
I'll... Okay, Skipper. You win. But I can wait any time. I can wait. And maybe the time's going to come when you realize that I was right. But when it does, I hope I'm there to laugh at both of you.
Forget it, Chief. Kendall didn't believe a word that Jones said, and flying off the handle now isn't going to help matters. We both know the kind of lying dog that Jones is. And
I want to see Kendall. If he doesn't believe Jones, then I want to hear it from his own lips. I'm not going to work on this ship for another fortnight under any kind of cloud, and that's flat.
Kendall's making his rounds, Chief. He said he'd join us in my cabin.
A lifetime at sea, and I've got to face this kind of thing. Only wish I'd retired before this voyage. If it hadn't been for you, I would have, John.
Look, Chief, it... come in.
Skipper? Mr. Cregan?
Well, I'm waiting, Mr. Kendall. Have you got the handcuffs with you?
Yeah, the leg irons, Chief. Don't forget those.
It's no laughing matter, my boy. I'm just committing a crime.
Along with the skipper. He might share the cell with you.
If you don't find me getting all hot under the collar about this, Chief. Although I must admit, after you told me what Jones said to you, I went down to the brig to tear him apart.
Aye. Well, that might happen yet.
Now, look, both of you. I've got enough trouble to face on this ship without anything happening to Jones. Is that clear? Just for the record, Chief, I don't believe a word of what Jones said, but if it's going to make you any happier, you can step along to my cabin and make a statement.
I'll do that. I'll do it this very moment. I'll not continue as chief engineer of the Tang Mar until I know you both believe in my innocence.
For Pete's sake, Chief.
Come on, Mr. Cregan. Let's get it over. I have a feeling that if Jones could see the way you're taking this, he'd be tickled to death.
Well, my dear Sharon, have you nothing further to say?
It's all been said.
Except for one word.
Which one?
Yes, will do. Meaning that in future you will refrain from even passing the time of day with Mr. Kendall or any other so-called eligible young man on the ship.
Can't you understand even now? I'm not afraid of you any longer. How many times do I have to tell you?
Then I would suggest that you fear a little for Kendall's safety. If you wish that young man to reach Jamaica alive, then I'll...
Elona was right about you, Father. You're terrified that something might happen to you before you get your hands on that money. And to hide your fear, you're trying to shout it down, trying to terrify me. You wouldn't dare do anything to Dirk, because if you did, then you'd never get that money. You'd go to prison.
Where do you think you're going?
To find Dirk and apologize to him. Apologize for the fact that my...
You will do nothing of the sort. Come back this instant, you hear me?
It'd be hard not to, wouldn't it? But if you try to stop me, Father, I shall take the matter to the captain.
Sharon, please. Please come back.
Father, it's no good.
I'm begging you, Sharon. Don't go to Kendall.
Well, Father?
You're right, Sharon. I am frightened. I can't bear to face the thought of life without you.
Father?
I know I haven't always shown it, but you mean more to me than I can ever possibly tell you. I've watched you grow more like your dear mother every day. More the kind of woman she was when I married her than I ever thought possible. These fellows like Blake and Kendall, they're not good enough for you, Sharon. I want you to have everything. I want you to have...
Please stop this, Father.
No, you've got to let me say it. You've got to remain with me, Sharon. Always. Why, when I look at you, I feel a young man again. As if it wipes out the past and I'm back to the start of my army career. young penniless officer, fired with ambition, determined to prove that a lack of money does not matter. That I'll make my way by proving my ability as a soldier. And while your dear mother was alive, I could do that.
But I've got to live my own life.
When I get my hands on my share of the Wellington estate, you can have anything you like. I'll give you the world. It'll be yours. £250,000, Charlotte. Stay with me and help me to spend it. Anything you've ever dreamed of possessing. Anything that
you can't buy the thing I want most, Father. My own home, my own family. To watch my own children growing up in the kind of warmth that I never knew.
All right, Charlotte. Go your own way, then. But when you find out the kind of fortune-hunting young lout you've sacrificed yourself for, don't come crawling to me for comfort. Don't expect me to take pity on you.
Good night, Father.
Good night, Catherine.
Father. Good night.
Catherine, she mustn't ever leave me. Never leave me. If she does, Catherine, I'll have to believe that you really are dead. And you're not. You won't ever be. Not while I can look at her.
As the chief engineer wrote out his statement, I couldn't know that with Cregan's help, I was to finally trap the killer who stalked the decks of this passage of the Tangmar.